God's word comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul shares with us, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping special speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other." This is God's word for you, God's people. Amen? Amen. Please be seated. Well, church, Christmas is only 16 days away. Now, I know Christmas is only 16 days away because it was 17 yesterday, and it was 18 the day before, and every day Micah gets up and asks me, "Is it Christmas yet?" And every day, "No, it's not quite yet, but it's coming, it's coming." You know, it's an exciting time for children, Christmas is, the anticipation, the presents under the tree, all of the lights and stories and programs, it's exciting. And it's exciting for us adults, too. It's a great time to celebrate God's love for us and be reminded again of all that God has done and everything that God is doing in our lives and in our world. Next Sunday, we're going to get to celebrate in a really neat service. It's as we share together in our Christmas cantata. And I don't know about you, but I have really been looking forward to this. And I've got to listen to some of the parts I've kind of snuck in, you know, and kind of got to listen. And I tell you, you're going to be blessed. It's going to be a great time together. And in fact, this week will be a really great time for you to invite family to come to church next week. Or maybe a friend or people that you know to come and share together in this cantata. I think they'll be blessed and you will too. And whenever you invite them, then let them know that you'll sit with them, or maybe even better, you might even pick them up and bring them to church, and then following church, maybe go out to eat lunch or something together. You see, this is one of the ways that we witness, isn't it? Isn't it? And disciples witness, don't we? That was our fourth step to a generous life with God as committed Christians. And remember, witnessing has to do with just keeping it simple, right? Sharing simple ways that of Jesus' love and Jesus and what it is to have faith in Christ. Even as simple as giving an invitation to come and sit with you at church during a cantata. And over the last few weeks, we've looked at how disciples pray. And we read our Bibles. Disciples prepare themselves for worship, and we live a life of worship. That box is crowding in on me. Disciples give financially to support the ministry and the mission of God's kingdom. And today, we finish up with our last step. And that is, disciples of Jesus Christ serve. In big ways or in little ways, we serve behind the scenes, out front, but committed Christians can't help but to serve. It's just a part of our DNA, our spiritual makeup as Christians. Ephesians 2, chapter 10, our Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You see, you and I were made to make a difference in this world. We're meant to give something back. We're meant to make this contribution. The Bible says that we are created to serve, to do good works, to make a difference. We're saved to serve. We're gifted to serve. Part of our spiritual makeup as Christians is service, serving God by serving others. And God didn't just leave this, you know, to us to try to figure out on our own. He gave us a model, Jesus, clothed himself. God clothed himself in Jesus and was born and lived among us. And you see, this is God showing us that this is how you do it. Jesus' physical life as he walked this earth is our model of God showing us how to be a person of faith. This is how you love. This is how you care for people. This is how you take care of those who are hurting and those who are broken around you. This is how you bind up those brokenhearted and bring life into your world. This is how you serve, by looking at Jesus' life and what he did and how he acted and how he responded to people. Oh, this is what I want you to do with your life. See, you and I were created to be like Christ. And what did Christ do while he walked on this earth? He served. He served. In Matthew 20, 28, Jesus says, "Your attitude must be like my own. For I did not come to be served, but to serve." Oh, truly, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. And not only did God give us Jesus as a model of how to serve, but God has given us his indwelling spirit to guide us and to empower us to serve. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul begins teaching about the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts that God imparts to every believer through the indwelling presence of God's Spirit in our lives. And so, yes, if you are a child of God, the Holy Spirit is within you, and God has given you a toolbox of gifts for you to use. And for what purpose? To give you warm fuzzies? You know, to make you feel special because you have these special gifts that God's given? Is it about you? No, not at all. They're not about you. They're not about me. These empowering gifts are given to you, they're given to me for the purpose of building up the body of Christ and for reaching out into our world to make disciples. You see, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12:7 that the purpose of God giving us spiritual gifts is so that we can help one another. And so exactly who is that? Who is that? Who is the each other? We can help each other. Who's the each other? Any idea? Well, take your hands and go like this. Now, both hands now kind of go like this. Now reach over and grab the hand of the next person to you. Go ahead. Okay, now you got a hold of them. That's the each other, all right? And everybody else connected, all right? That's the each other. So these spiritual gifts are given to help us help each other in the body of Christ. We serve one another. So God has given us teachers and preachers and people gifted in leadership, people who bring healing to the wounded and the hurting, who bring faith into those times of doubt and worry. God gives us those wonderful people gifted in hospitality and mercy and discernment. And the list goes on and on. But it is all for the purpose of building up the body of Christ, to help each other grow in our walk with Jesus, to be there for one another when we're hurting, whenever we're down, whenever we're low, to encourage one another along, to be there for those who are young, and to care for our elderly and our widowed, and even to hold one another accountable to the way of Christ. We don't talk a whole lot about that one in church, though, do we? But we should. Because that's what the gifts are for. You see, spiritual gifts are given to help each other in the body of Christ. And they're also given to help each other, to help us help each other outside the body of Christ. Those people who are outside in our neighborhoods. Not just the people here in church, but those people who are outside our neighborhoods who have never been in church. In other words, we serve our world. That's the second part of service. Christians bring hope and light to those dark places of the world, to those who are in despair, to those who are lost, and to those who even think that they got life all figured out. And again, God empowers us, you and I, with the gifts to do so. God gives us all we need so that to reach out in simple ways into our world and to really make a difference. God gives us, think about this, God has not only gives us, but He has given us all we need to do so, to transform our community, in our neighborhood, right here in our church. God has already blessed us with all the spiritual gifts that we need to transport or transform our community and in our neighborhoods. But listen, it takes God's people working together using the spiritual gifts that God has given to do so. Listen, if you're living in a place where the kids kind of just run wild and you can't leave anything out because it's liable to run off, you can do something about that. And it's not about hooking up a hot wire or anything like that. If your neighbor screams and yells at each other at all hours of the night, you've got some hope to offer. You really do. If your neighbors have just moved in from the hills of Kentucky and you kind of like that southern twang, but the slang that follows, that kind of bothers you, especially because your kids can hear it. And listen, you can make a difference. God has given you all you need to transform your neighborhood. But it takes working collectively with your Christian neighbors to do so, and you got to know who your neighbors are in order to do that, and whether or not they're Christian. It means inviting people over to dinner and sharing how God might move in your neighborhood. It means praying together and seeking God's direction through His Word. And once a group is established, it means inviting those folks from Kentucky with their southern slang to come to your group and share together in a cookout and get to know those folks. It means walking around your neighborhood with that friend in your group and stopping to show some interest and striking up a conversation with those little heathens running the streets is what it means. It's about inviting that neighbor who screams and yells, you know, for a cup of coffee. Or if they're out there in their flower bed working, it means going up and, I don't know, talking about flowers and getting to know them. But truly getting involved in each other's lives. You see, far too often, people just pray. Oh God, you know, we ask God to fix our stuff. Oh God, renew our community. Bring that neighbor to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. When God has already given us all that we need to make the difference. This morning, Nicole shared about how she's been talking to this young girl, this Gabby, and how she's been sharing her heart and her life. You know, Nicole could have just said, I've been praying for Gabby. I've been praying for her. And God, I really hope that, you know, you do something. We can't just sit and wait for God to do something. God's given us all we need to do. And Nicole stepped out in faith and she's sharing that word with her. God bless you, Nicole. You know? But you see, God is just waiting for us to do something. To serve. I wonder what would happen if our churches in our area would come together and truly partner in forming some type of neighborhood transformation ministry. You know, if individual churches could get out of their mode of just doing things on their own, you know, well, this is our church and this is our ministry and we're this other church and this is our... Why do we do that? Why do we do that? You know, why can't we work together and truly transform and combine our gifts, begin working outside our church, begin working outside even our denominations and not getting all tied up in doctrine? And truly in Jesus' name, help lead this, you know, a neighborhood group in supporting and training Christians to use the gifts in which God has given to transform to transform people's lives, to transform neighborhoods. You see, that's serving. That's serving. And not just dealing with the little heathens or the problem with the drug dealer on the corner. What about that elderly person who just sits alone all day and all they seem to ever get done is just watching television because that's their life. Nobody comes by. Or what about that man who lives two doors down, who's in a wheelchair, and you happen to notice that his light, his porch light's burned out. It's never on, you know? Listen, God may have bestowed upon you the gift of being able to climb a ladder. What do you think? What do you think? Or being able to knock on a door and share a plate of cookies. God may have given you that gift. What do you think? Possibly. You get that? Paul says the purpose of God giving us spiritual gifts is so that we can help one another. And the each other is not just in the church, but it is all of each other in our community and beyond. See, this is what Jesus modeled for us. He not only cared for and he healed and he helped people just like him, but he also took the risk to help those, well, those people of his culture and his day that his people despised. He healed a Roman soldier's son, didn't he? He hung out and showed compassion to tax collectors. He lifted up and he forgave prostitutes. He associated with Samaritans. Jesus served the least, the lost, those who had been cast aside, those in his world who had been deemed unworthy. Jesus served. He modeled for us what it is to help each other, just as he modeled for his disciples what it means to be a servant to one another. As he wrapped that towel around his waist and began washing their feet on that night of the Last Supper. You see, disciples of Jesus Christ serve in all kinds of unique ways. We help people because God loves us and we love God and we love the things that God loves. So as God's people, empowered and gifted by the Holy Spirit, we make no distinction of who or how far we love. Of who and how far we serve. I want to show you a video this morning. It was recorded a few years back on the Today Show from NBC. It's a story about a church and a pastor who got a hold of this understanding that God's people help people in and out of the church. And what Pastor William Martin and his church did was pretty radical, and certainly, it was risky. It was risky service.
Possum Trot, Texas. A town so tiny there are no stoplights or street names. A town so poor, the food bank has been closed for months. You might even think this town in the piney woods of East Texas has nothing left to give. But you would be wrong.
How many children have been adopted through the church?
76.
16 years ago at Bennett Chapel Baptist Church, this congregation was down on its luck. They decided to make a change. Instead of asking for help, they decided to give it.
Your failure don't have to be your destiny, because you can change it.
And for Bishop W.C. Martin and his wife Donna, that change was recognizing there were those far worse off, and in many cases, they were children.
It's not a whole lot that we have to offer children right here in Possum Trot, but love, peace, and joy, and happiness, we can offer them that.
So they passed on a challenge to their congregation, asking everyone who could to provide a loving home for children in need.
I would imagine the blessing has not been without struggle.
The challenge with the kids is not them really, really trusting the love that you have to give them unconditionally.
Many of these children are victims of neglect and abuse.
Yes, some of them was beaten and molested by family members. Just most horrible things.
Josh, how was your day?
The Martins have adopted 4 children themselves and are just one of 25 families in Possum Trot who have adopted foster children. Ricky and Dorothy Cartwright have expanded their family with 5 children who they clearly dote on.
Go ahead.
The love is evident, and so are the challenges. Ricky took 2 extra jobs so Dorothy could stay home with the kids. And some of the children still struggle with their past.
My other mom hated me. That's why she gave us away. And every day I think about that. Why did she give me away?
A change is coming. Change is
coming. For many of these children, the past will always be a part of them, but they prefer to look to the future. For the Lathan family, the future is a little more uncertain. Teresa Lathan and her husband Glenn have taken in 11 children over the years. But 2 years ago, Teresa fell sick with lupus.
It almost seems like it went from you taking care of all of these kids to now...
They taking care of me.
Her children echo the love they have for her.
Ain't no telling what we'd be if it wasn't for her.
So weak now, Teresa speaks in a whisper until she wants to make sure she is heard.
When you look back on it, do you have any regrets?
No, I don't.
It is worth noting that of the 76 children who have been adopted in Possum Trot over the last 16 years, none of them have dropped out of high school, and most are honor roll students with college ambitions, Savannah Guthrie.
Why, Steve?
This is a story that I've been following for probably 10, 12, 14 years. It's been that long. I remember when the community had adopted like 12 or 14 within this church, and now they're all the way up to 77. As of today, 77 children have been adopted. And what they were looking for were the children that were most at risk, those who have been abused, those who have been neglected, those who have undergone the worst of things. And you'll notice the ages, they were not infants. They were anywhere from teenagers on down that were adopted. But this is a church who saw as their mission children at risk, truly children in crisis. And, you know, they could have donated clothes. They could have gave money. They could have donated food, and all that would have been good and right. That would have been good things for these children, right? But you see, they chose to serve in a different way because they saw what these children really needed was someone to take the risk and step out in Jesus' name and to come alongside them and to love them and to care for them and to literally become their parent, to become that one who would love them forever and who would always be there for them. And did you happen to notice the different the different ages, you know? Did you happen to notice the family wealth? The one family who adopted 5 children, you know, they lived in a pretty spacious mobile home, didn't they? Yeah. Yet they took the risk. And in Jesus' name, they've changed the lives of now 77 beautiful children. And I'm not advocating that everyone here in our church adopt. I'm not doing that. But that would double our attendance. But I am advocating that all of us serve in some way because this is what disciples do. And to maybe even serve in some risk-taking ways like Jesus served. You see, God's people make no distinction of who and how far we love or of who and how far that we serve. And I'm so glad to see that spiritual truth at work in so many ways here at Selma Christ. You know, and I do see that. Within our church, people are here for each other. In our parsonage gatherings, that's one of the things that I keep hearing over and over again. When a need is expressed, we respond. When teachers or when helpers are needed, you serve. Whenever Christmas decorations need to go up, when you're asked to help clean up, you step up. When a need presents itself, you offer yourself, serving as you're able. You serve as you give of yourself to further the mission of the church. Be it putting together Christmas boxes for children in need, or becoming someone's angel on an angel tree. But that's all serving. You serve by ushering and greeting and being a part of a worship team and agreeing and, yeah, doing lighting candles and doing sound ministry and nursery workers and cookie bakers, and that list just keeps going on and on. It's all about serving. And I want to thank you for that. And as your pastor, I want to encourage you to continue to use your gifts and your spiritual gifts that God has given you to serve those within and those who are outside of our church. But there's so many ways in that we can, as disciples, can serve. And that's what committed Christians do. We serve. Well, church, this is one of the reasons that I'm so excited about our single board leadership that we're adopting, because a big part of it is going to cause us to truly look beyond our walls and to get our hands and feet in doing the work of Jesus Christ in our community and in our world. Instead of just, you know, sitting and talking in meetings about, you know, just the stuff of the church and how we can just take care of us. You see, this model of church organization causes us that we're moving to is to not just settle in or to just be about the business that we've always been about, but it will truly challenge us to look at ministry and mission with fresh eyes and open hearts and minds, and to truly be challenged in the work that Jesus Christ will lead us to. And there might very well be people who are not currently serving in our leadership that's going to be asked to serve in this new leadership format. And if you're asked to serve, I want you to know that it's not because we have a spot to fill. Oh, you'll be asked to serve because we've prayed about this and God has directed us towards you. And I want to tell you, as your pastor, I will leave an area of leadership open before I ask someone to serve in that leadership area that God has not directed us toward. That's the way I've always operated. I want to tell you, over the next 12 to 18 months, I want to challenge you to serve Christ in some ways that maybe you've never served before. Be that in our community or in our church or in our world, but there are so many ways for us to serve. You know, one of the things I'd love to see us do is some kind of a hands-on ministry this next summer, this next fall, to gather some men and some women of our church, skilled and unskilled. Maybe to have some of our older youth join us, and during summer break or fall break, head over to the Appalachian Mountains to minister and to be Jesus' hands and feet to some of the poorest people of our country. You know, I'd love to see how we can make a difference right here with our neighbors, how we might discover some of the deepest needs of our community and to actually do something about that. But there's so many ways in which we can serve and be Jesus' hands and feet to others. Last Wednesday, I received an email from Courtney Zimmerman. She's the community wellness coordinator with Purdue Extension in Delaware County. And she asked if our church might consider partnering with them to provide a community garden here in Selma to provide fresh produce to families in need. And there's a grant for this also if we act soon enough. And I don't know that we will do this, but this is something our board will need to discuss and focus on. But what a great way to serve and to reach out to those neighbors in our community, those who are hurting, those who have little. And we have a place, we have a spot of ground that we can do that on. But you see, even right here in our church, we have little and big ways, and there's such great need for serving. You know, we currently need two individuals to serve on the media team to learn how to run our computer, our sound system, right, Joe? Yeah, and listen, this is a great place to serve because if the preacher kind of goes too long, you can kind of just, Jody, you know, Joe, don't do that. Jeremy is always in need of help for youth, be that with transportation or mentors or chaperones or cooks whenever he does lock-ins. And I'm sure we could always use additional greeters and ushers and nursery helpers. And in time, I'm also wanting to put together kind of this preaching theme team. I don't have a name for it yet, but that's kind of what it is. It's a team of people that'll work with me in planning out sermon themes and brainstorming and putting together all the pieces that go into a preaching series. But But listen, in big ways and in little ways, we serve. And it all matters. And it's all important. And that's what Paul tells us in the remaining part of that chapter of 1 Corinthians 12. Paul goes on to talk about how our spiritual gifts and serving in big ways and little ways is all important, and it's all essential for building the kingdom. It's kind of like that story of a certain usher many, many years ago. Two teenage boys, they tried to come into this night service, but the place was packed out. They couldn't find any seats, and they started to leave, and one of the ushers happened to notice them, and he said, "Come on, guys." He said, I'll find you a seat. And so that usher personally escorted them right down the center aisle and set them right there in the middle, about where Judy was, in the size of church this would be. And that night, he found them two little seats, and those boys that night accepted Jesus Christ, and they became Christians. One of them was Billy Graham, who led literally tens of millions of people to Christ just because there was an usher. Usherin. An usher. Ushin. Serving. Wouldn't you like to have been that usher? To be connected to all of those people that Billy Graham led to faith? Of course, if you were, you know, being that Billy Graham died when, what, he was very old, and you if you were that usher, you'd be dead now, I suppose. But maybe you wouldn't want to be that usher. But you see, the most important thing you'll ever do with your life is serving God in ministry. You know, it's far more important than our career. Man, it's far more important than your hobbies. It's even more important than anything that you can think of, because all that other stuff will never last. Never. But what will last, where moth and rust will not destroy, is our service. Disciples of Jesus serve. Would you pray with me? Father, we realize that we were created to serve you by serving others. Forgive us for the times that we've put a do not disturb sign on our hearts. Help us to see the interruptions as opportunities to serve. Help us to make time for what matters most. For you've been so good to us. We want to give something back. We want to serve you freely and gratefully and faithfully. And we want to practice before we get to heaven. So one day we can hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." For it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Would the ushers come now, and we're going to pass out our last commitment card for our series, the card for service. Go now in the strength and the grace and the love that God gives you and who gives all. And may you experience the peace of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.